Welcome to day 178 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are reading from the Amplified Translation, and we will be covering 1 Kings chapters 17, 18, and 19. I believe you'll enjoy today's reading as we are being introduced to Elijah the prophet here in 1 Kings 17 and his amazing exploits with the Lord. So starting at 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite of the temporary residence of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn east and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. After a while, the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in the jar and a little oil in the bottle. See, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake of it first and bring it to me, and afterward prepare some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste away or the bottle of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not spent, nor did the bottle of oil fail, according to the word which the Lord spoke through Elijah. After these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? Have you come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" He said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her bosom and carried him up into the chamber where he stayed and laid him upon his own bed. And Elijah cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you brought further calamity upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's soul come back into him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the lower part of the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." And the woman said to Elijah, "By this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Chapter 18. Verse 1. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by fifties in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, Go into the land to all the fountains of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, that we may lose none of the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way and Obadiah went another way, each by himself. As Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. He recognized him and fell on his face and said, Are you my lord Elijah? He answered him, It is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What sin have I committed that you would deliver your servant into the hands of Ahab to be slain? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you. And when they said, He's not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. And now you say, Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah's here. And as soon as I have gone out from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you I know not where. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared and revered the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by fifties in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he will kill me. Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to Ahab today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, Are you he who troubles Israel? Elijah replied, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, by forsaking the commandments of the Lord and by following the Baals. Therefore, send and gather me all Israel at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of the goddess Asherah who eat at Queen Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, How long will you halt and limp between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given us. Let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. I will dress the other bull, lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the one who answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered, It is well spoken. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, Choose one bull for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull given them, dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear and answer us. But there was no voice, no one answered. And they leaped upon or limped about the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he has gone aside, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with knives and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. Midday passed, and they played the part of prophets until the time for offering the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no answer, no one who paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near him. And he repaired the old altar of the Lord that had been broken down by Jezebel. Then Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones, Elijah built an altar in the name and self-revelation of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. The water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you, the Lord, are God, and have turned their hearts back to you." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and also licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" And Elijah said, "Seize the prophets of Baal, let not one escape." They seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and as God's law required, slew them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Elijah said, "Go again 7 times. And at the 7th time, the servant said, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is arising out of the sea." And Elijah said, "Go up, say to Ahab, hitch your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." In a little while, the heavens were black with windswept clouds, and there was a great rain. And Ahab went to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, nearly 20 miles. Chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid and arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba of Judah, over 80 miles and out of Jezebel's realm, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a lone broom or juniper tree, and asked that he might die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." As he lay asleep under the broom or juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." He looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a bottle of water at his head. And he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle stillness and a still small voice. When Elijah heard the voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to destroy it." And the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, to be prophet in your place. And him who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall slay. And him who escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall slay. Yet I will leave myself 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So Elijah left there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, whose plowing was being done with 12 yoke of oxen, and he drove the 12th. Elijah crossed over to him and cast his mantle upon him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." And he, testing Elisha, said, "Go on back. What have I done to you? Settle it for yourself." So Elisha went back from him. Then he took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the oxen's yoke as fuel, and gave to the people, and they ate. Then he arose, followed Elijah, and served him. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the part of Elijah's story where the Lord sends him to the brook Cherith to hide himself for a season because of King Ahab and Jezebel's anger toward him about delivering that word of the Lord about there being no rain in Israel until the Lord said so. So here we see this prophet of God, a great man of God. It took a lot of courage just to go and speak that word to Ahab, who was among the most murderous kings that ever lived in terms of murdering the prophets of God. Yet Elijah bravely went, delivered that word, and then the Lord told him, "Go and hide yourself by this place called the brook named Cherith." And it's interesting because the word Cherith actually means separation or cut off. And I'm quite sure that Elijah felt very much separated from everyone and cut off from all fellow mankind because he was there alone in the wilderness with only the ravens to keep him company as they brought him bread and meat every day. And that is fascinating in itself. And it really is a picture because if you think about it, ravens are not a bird that would be sharing their food. In fact, the word raven comes from that word ravenous, which is the literal characteristic of that specific bird. They're so ravenous, they're so after meat, and they are very harsh in the way that they operate. There's nothing gracious about a raven. And yet, God chose the ravens to be the one to deliver meat to Elijah, really, I think, as a symbol of God's ability to provide miraculously in the face of sheer impossibility. It would be impossible for a raven to do that in its natural sense of its own character, but also just that birds would be delivering his food day and night is quite an amazing miracle in itself. So here we find the prophet cut off, being fed by ravens, but obeying the Lord. He was at the brook Cherith by the order of God himself. The Lord sent him to that place. That may very much have happened in your life. God sent you to a certain place. But then he faced something he never expected. The brook where he would get his water every day dried up. It says, after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And we know that the lack of rain was also God's will because he had spoken that there would be no rain until God said so. And it was a judgment on Israel and specifically on King Ahab and Jezebel because they had pursued such wicked, idolatrous worship of these Baals and led all of Israel down that same deadly path of idol worship. So here the prophet is in a real situation. He suddenly has no water, but immediately the word of the Lord comes to him because God already had another plan in place. And Elijah did not fear. He embraced God's new season for him and went on to where he was directed. But I want you to think about this for a moment. What do you do when the brook dries up in your life? God may have sent you to a certain place, an area, a job, a school, and suddenly the brook dries up. There's no more grace there. There's no more provision there. It's become a dead end. And you need to go somewhere else. Well, God wants us as his people to be like Elijah, ready to embrace the new season that God is bringing. Because when the brook dries up in your life, don't fear, don't be afraid, don't think God doesn't love you anymore, don't think, what have I done wrong? Just seek the Lord and ask him. Get the word of the Lord as Elijah did for the very next season. That's exactly what Elijah did. And he received the plan that God did already have in place for him. Now, it's an interesting turn of events as well because the Lord sent him to another very unlikely place to receive provision. The wilderness was not a likely place to receive provision, yet he supernaturally received it through the ravens feeding him. And now God sends him to another unlikely place. Remember that famine is all over the land at this time. And here God sends him to a place called Zarephath. Now it's interesting, the word Zarephath from the original language means refining place. Or workshop for melting and refining metals. Sometimes when God sends us to the new place, opens up the new season for us, it doesn't look very appealing. It looks worse than what we came from, which had dried up, remember? It looked pretty bad to Elijah, I'm sure, because when he arrived in Zarephath, this refining place, he met a widow who was there gathering a few sticks to make a fire to bake her last little tiny loaf of bread so that she and her son could eat the very last crumbs they had in their house left and be ready to die because the famine was so severe, there was no food available anywhere. And they were facing total starvation, and they knew it. And the widow plainly told Elijah that was the condition they were in. Now, can you imagine? The Lord told him, "Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I've commanded a widow there to provide for you." And yet he comes to the widow and she's on the verge of starvation. That does not look very hopeful. It doesn't look very appealing, and it doesn't look at all promising of great blessings to come. Sometimes when the brook dries up and the Lord sends you in a new direction, to a new place, to a new opportunity, a new source of provision, it may not look very appealing. And yet God has a plan. God always has a plan. He had it planned before the foundations of the earth for you and for your life when you are a person that walks with God. In Elijah's case, the widow, the place of provision that God had prepared, looked absolutely incapable of providing for Elijah, let alone for herself and her son. You know, God's new provision will definitely bring more refining into your life. And that's what was happening in Zarephath. God had to do a miracle in the new place of provision to supply all their needs. But Elijah believed God and he received that provision, not only for himself, but for that widow and her son as well. God wants you to be a person who can believe God for your provision. Don't mourn because a brook dried up that previously supplied your provision. If you're mourning over that, then you have a misplaced sense of where your provision comes from. Your provision doesn't come from a job, a certain company, a bank account. Your provision comes from the Lord. But the day that you are looking to the company, the employer, the job, the bank account, the savings account, you are misplacing your trust. And when you do that, you're setting yourself up for a big disaster and a great disappointment. Because humans and natural things are never to be our source of provision. God Himself is to be our source every single time. God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. Your job's not your provider. Your company's not your provider. Your business that you started and now it looks like it's drying up. That's not your provider. God has a new plan. God has a new place. God has a Zarephath for you like he did for Elijah. It may not look appealing, but there's a blessing in Zarephath for you. It will bring more refining into your life, but I tell you, it will bring a blessing. Your place of provision, whatever it is, wherever it is, has a dual purpose. Think about this. You are to be a blessing to the people God sends you to. Say he's sending you to a new city, a new job, a new business. You are to be a blessing to whomever God sends you to. And you are to be a participant in God's miracle for other people. And you have to keep that perspective. That's exactly what he did with Elijah. Yes, he sent him to the widow so that she could provide for him, but she was going to be a recipient of more blessing than she would ever give out. Elijah became a blessing to the person he was sent to the place where he was supposed to get the provision. He became a participant in God's miracles for the widow and her son. So I really want to encourage you, don't ever be disappointed when God brings one season to an end in your life and sends you down a new road to a different place. God is sending you for a purpose. He wants you to be a blessing there. as well as receive a blessing, but he wants you to be a blessing and participate in God's miracles for other people. Imagine the widow received not only supernatural provision of food so that she did not die in that famine like many people did during that time in Israel's history. She not only received that, she received her son back from the dead. So the first miracle recorded in the Bible of someone being raised from the dead is this miracle of Elijah with the widow's son. So as we close today's devotional, I want you to consider these four points as you think about this story of the brook that dried up. First of all, if you're facing a situation in your life where a business, a job, some source of income to your life, some source of provision or comfort has come to an end, don't mourn the loss of the brook. It is not your provider. If your husband left you, he's not your provider. If your wife left you, she's not your provider, not of even of comfort. God is to be our comforter, the God of all comfort. If it's financial, don't mourn the loss of the job or the business or any other financial instrument that you've been relying on. You need to confess as sin, having relied on natural things as your provider rather than looking to the Lord. If you've been doing that and you realize, I have been, it's why I'm hurting so bad right now, then you need to say, God, forgive me for looking to that job or that employer as my source of provision. You are my source of provision. So begin there. Don't mourn the loss of the brook. It's not your provider. God is. Secondly, seek the Lord and get the word of the Lord as Elijah did for your next assignment. God has one. God has a place. He has a job. He has a new business idea. He has a new place for you. And then by faith, rejoice because God has already prepared it. It's okay to let that brook go. I feel like there's someone listening to me right now. You've been clinging to something that is clearly dying or dead. You need to just lay it down and say, Lord, thank you for the length of time that you allowed this job or business or whatever it is to be a blessing to me and to my family. But now I lay it down and I ask you, what is your next assignment for me? Thirdly, don't be discouraged when you see the new place of provision or assignment. The place of refining, remember, that was what Zarephath meant, and that's where Elijah was sent, to the place of refining. It will be a place where you will not only see miracles for your own life, you'll get to participate in them for other people. And lastly, realize that wherever God sends you, it's not only for yourself and for your family and for your personal provision. It is so you can be a blessing to others. God bless you and give you a victorious week.